Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
So show me your glory. We're in message number 7. We're going to talk about the idea of truth. So let's just kind of do a little brief here before we get going. God uses 5 words to describe himself in Exodus 34:6. 5 words. All right. And they're 5 words, they're 5 ideas, and they're just, it's replicated all throughout Scripture. And the reason we're taking just this one verse, really, this one verse is the most quoted verse in all of the Old Testament. It's just repeated parts of it, sometimes the full part of it is repeated over and over and over, about 25, 30 times or so throughout the Old Testament. So it's a real important verse right here. That's why we're taking the time just to kind of unpack it. So God speaks 5 words or 5 ideas that reveal his glory to us. And remember, all this is in response to Moses' request. And you want a prayer that God will always answer. This prayer right here. Moses asked the Lord, he said, show me your glory. That's a great prayer. Show me who you are, basically. Show me your goodness. Show me who you are, God. Show me, you know, the mystery of God is huge. It really is a huge thing. And you know, I've got the task to explain him to you. That's kind of crazy when you start thinking about it. But fortunately, he left us some scripture on it. He left us the script that we need to follow. So that's what we do. These are the things that God speaks about himself right here in Exodus 34:6. There's some of the things. Now, there's a lot of other things, but these are some of the things that set God apart from all other beings, all other kinds of beings. Even there's other supernatural spiritual beings. But these things set God apart. And if you're going to know God, if you're going to understand him, if you're going to relate to him, these are some of the things you have to know. All right. So now let's close this intro with this idea. The scriptures and history are a testament to these characteristics of God. The scriptures and history, and probably some of your history, are a testament. See that word testament. Another word that kind of similar to that is testimony, right? These words, these characteristics are a testimony to who God is. And we've got the former testament, which we call the Old Testament. That's the Old Testimony. And then we've got the New Testimony that reveals Jesus to us. So it's the New Testament of who God is and how he's revealed himself and how he wants to relate to us. All right, so now, let's read. Exodus 34:6. Lots more we can say. Always. You figured that out yet? Y'all really don't appreciate how short my sermons are, because they really could be 5 hours, honestly. 34:6. And the Lord passed before him, before Moses, and proclaimed. He preached himself. He talked about himself. The Lord God. And here's the 5 words. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. So you got these 5 words right here. Merciful. I'm going to give you some time to write that in. And then we're going to write in some of our summaries of what we've done so far to get us up to date, because we're going to close out verse 6 today, Lord willing. God's merciful. God's gracious. He's long-suffering. He is abounding in goodness and abounding in truth. All right? And you wrap all those together, just those 5 right there. But there's many other attributes of God. But you wrap those 5 together and you get the idea, the portrait that God is love. And Jesus is the proof of that, right? Jesus came to reveal God to us and to reveal God's love, for God so loved the world. You know, sometimes we get a picture that God was so mad at the world that Jesus had to stand between them so he wouldn't kill us all. But that's not what it says, is it? It says that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. He sent Jesus to save us, all right? So you got that? So now let's look at some of the summaries of what we put together so far. And just so you kind of keep this intention in your mind. God's merciful. We talked about that's the idea that he's full of compassion. Right? A lot of stuff to write down right here on your notes, so I'll give you a little bit of time. He's merciful. He's full of compassion. That he is so full of compassion that he doesn't always give us what we deserve. You think God's ever let you get away with anything? But yeah. Now you can't keep playing that card. But he's full of compassion towards you. He's gracious. So we come up with the idea that he's full of love, he's full of kindness, and he's benevolent, or he's giving. That's the idea of gracious. Now see, God revealed himself like this because not everybody knows this. This is a revelation. The idea of him being long-suffering. We came up with the idea of slow to anger. Remember we talked about the idea that the Hebrew word is he's long of nose. You know, you see the cartoons where their heads turn red when they get real mad. Well, that's kind of coming from the Hebrew word right there for long-suffering. All right, this idea that the nose gets red hot is one way it's described in the Hebrew. Hot-headed, you know that idea about being angry? Somebody's hot-headed, right? I know that ain't nobody you kin to or know or not even anybody in here, but we know people like that, right? Anywho, but God's not hot-headed. God's slow to anger. He's not quick to anger. He's slow to anger, and he's patient with us. Aren't you glad about that part? Because guess, I would be a crispy critter if he wasn't patient. I promise you. Because I have tried him to the hilt. Anybody like that? What's that?
No, I just got tickled out.
he would have burnt. I would have had a lightning bolt a few many years ago. You know what I'm saying? But he's been very patient. And his love just kind of causes that. And we talked last week about goodness. And we came up with the idea of God's goodness is expressed through his loyal love, that he's faithful, he's loyal to us. All right? So now today we're going to look at this idea, abounding in goodness and abounding in truth. And this is what we're going to just keep hammering away on. And we're going to look at a bunch of scriptures, so you just get ready to follow along. God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy and God is faithful. We got a lot of songs that talk about how faithful God is. In fact, the old hymn "Standby" is, "Great is thy faithfulness, oh God my Father." That's one of my favorites right there. You know, it's an amazing song, but it's a great portrait. And it really comes out of truths just like this. Abounding in truth, the idea of God is trustworthy or God is faithful. All right, so now it's the Hebrew word emet. I know you're not probably looking up the Hebrew and all that kind of thing unless you really get into your studies. But the idea is it's mostly translated as the word truth. That's what's translated right here in our English Bible. It's the idea of the word truth. And here's the understanding of it. As in true to your word, or like they really have a true heart. You know, you ever maybe heard somebody say something like that? It said he's just tried and true. You've heard people say that kind of thing? So it's the idea of that God is true. You can count on him. He is not like a man. He says this about himself. I am not like a man. I do not lie. You know, people lie. They'll lie about you. They'll lie on you. They'll lie to you. God said, I'm not like that. I cannot lie. I cannot lie. That's amazing, isn't it? And it's the idea of being trustworthy or faithful. And you may write these things down two or three times, but, you know, repetition is the mother of all learning. So it's on purpose for you to keep writing these things down, get these concepts in you. God is trustworthy, faithful. Here's the idea. God is trustworthy, therefore you can trust him. In one sense, that's the message of the entire Bible. The entire Bible is a love letter that God has written to us to say, you can trust me. God can't trust us. You know, it's pretty obvious through the story of the scriptures, pretty obvious through our own story. We're not near as faithful as he is. But he's trustworthy. And the Bible just presents God to us and says, he's worthy of your trust. All right? Another idea is God is faithful. And God's faithfulness initiates our personal faith. So faith is not just something you conjure up. It's not just something that you just, I don't know, I don't even know how to say it really. It's not something that initiates with you. It actually initiates with God, and you realize how good and how faithful God is. It spurs faith. It triggers faith in you. You see what I'm talking about? So God's faithfulness is actually the foundation of our faith. When you realize how faithful he is, you trust him. You put your faith in him. All right? And it conveys this whole idea of truth, or this word emet in the Hebrew, which I think it's about 125 times spoken of. We're only going to look at about half of those tonight. Is that all right? Yeah, y'all not laughing. This idea of emet conveys the idea of stability. It conveys the idea of steadfastness. I asked you last week, what was steadfastness? And it's the idea of being, if you look at steadfast, what would be the root word of that? Steady, right? The idea of steady, the steadfast. It's the idea of certainty and security and reliability. That God is a God you can rely on. And if He promised you something, He'll make good on it. That's the idea. And it's good to have that because you think about the gods of the ancients, you know, and it's still today, and the God of Islam. You never know where you stand with it. You never know. You never know if you had enough sacrifices of some of the ancient pagan gods and things. You never knew if you did enough. You know, you got the people on Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal. They're cutting themselves and dancing around because they're just trying to do everything they possibly can to provoke their God, and they don't know what's enough. You know, Islam's the same way. They don't know. They don't know if they're going to get into heaven when they get there. All right? They have no idea. But the God of the Bible is totally different. He gives us His word. He makes promises. See, all the other gods make you make promises to them. We serve the God who's made promises to us. That's pretty amazing. That God would bind Himself in a covenant with frailty and humanity like this, flesh and blood. That's pretty amazing. And that's what He's done. He certainly did that through Jesus. All right? So, abounding in truth. So faith from a biblical perspective is not blind. It's not blind. You know, we're not taking a step off of a limb here. There are good reasons to believe in the trustworthiness of the God of the Bible. There are good reasons, all right? And you need to spend your life trying to figure out those reasons, all right, to strengthen your faith. Because, you know, faith it starts out like a seed. Jesus talks about that a lot. It starts out like a seed, but faith can grow, can it? Faith can grow and it can grow strong. Faith can get weak. You know, you've had those kind of seasons where something may happen and your faith kind of weakened a little bit. But faith can be strengthened. And the scripture says that we are to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, right? So there's this progression of we begin to see more reasons, both in our history and our story and God's work in our own personal lives. And then as we understand the scripture, it comes alive to us. He comes alive to us, all right? So now let's look at several scriptures here. And this word emet is going to be in all of these. All right. So now I've got some things to fill in here. And there's again, I think it's about 125, 127 occurrences. We're only going to look at a handful, just small sampling, but you'll get the idea. 19:7 of Psalms says this: the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law, the Torah is the Hebrew word, Torah. You've heard that idea of Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It means instruction, really. When I see the word law, I like to put the word instruction because that's really what it means. The instruction of the Lord is perfect. Makes more sense to me like that. Okay. The instruction or the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. There's that word emet right there. Sure. Making wise the simple. So in other words, if this is something you're going to base your life upon, it says that the testimony of the Lord is sure. He's talking about the Word of God. The Word of God is the testimony that he's talking about. All right. And it's one big testimony. It's full of a bunch of different testimonies, different people encountering God and God revealing himself to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and his own and on to Moses and all of Israel. And it's just testimony after testimony. And some of them are very colorful. Some of them are not so pretty because our part wasn't so good. But the testimony of the Lord is sure. Something you can foundation yourself is stable, right? Psalm 25:5. Lead me in your truth, your emet. Lead me in your truth. There's that word again. And teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. All right? There's something about truth. Truth transcends time, transcends generations. If it's true, it's true. Kind of like 2 + 2. Some folks won't change that these days, but 2 + 2 is still 4. Right? That's because it's true. It's just the way it is, the way it's been set up. It's true. Lead me. We need truth like that in our relationship with God. We need to know that we're building our lives. If eternity is at stake, you better know something. I don't want to find out when I get there. That's going to be tough, isn't it? Psalm 36, 5 and 6 says this. Your mercy, we looked at this verse last week actually, for that characteristic, loyal love. Your mercy or your loyal love, O Lord, is in the heavens. In the heavens, His loyal love is it's in the sun, moon, stars, the seasons that produce rain, that cause our crops to grow and our grass to grow and all the food that we've got produced and all those kind of things. It's why do you have something to eat at the grocery store? Is it because all the farmers? Well, thank God for the farmers. They help to cultivate. But you know what they're working by? They're working by the principles of the loyal love of God that's already been put into creation. You know that? Teach kids about that because they think this stuff comes from Kroger. It don't come from Kroger. It comes from God. You got to remember that. So God's loyal love is in the heavens. And your faithfulness, that's that word emet right there, translated faithfulness. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. And your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep, O Lord. You preserve man and beast. And that's that third day song right there in that verse number 5. Right. Psalm 40, verse 11. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness, that was last week's word, loving kindness or loyal love, kesed, remember that? And your truth, there it is again, continually preserve me. Continually preserve me. So that's the idea of constant and stable, trustworthy, reliable. Your truth is reliable. It's going to take care of me. It's going to preserve my life. All right? Psalm 119, 160. In fact, we could have picked a whole bunch of stuff out of Psalm 119 because it's a tribute to the Word of God, basically. Is what Psalm 119. That's the lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. Scriptures in there, all kinds. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. 119, 160 says this, the entirety of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Endures forever. So that's the idea of reliability again. You see what I'm talking about? Are you tracking with me? Doing these word studies, you got to keep your brain in gear. And I know it's getting late at night and you're ready for a nap and all that kind of stuff. 8-hour nap anyway, huh? But you're doing these word studies, you got to keep in gear now. All right. Now here's a similar word to emet. Psalm 72, 19, you know this word very well. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. That's a kindred word to emet is amen and amen. You know what amen means? That's the truth. Amen. I'll say it on cue. I'm just going to tell you, she will. Amen. And amen's kind of one of those words that just kind of transcends culture too. If you go anywhere in the Spanish-speaking world, amen, same word. I don't know about all. Is it in European languages and all that? Do anybody know? Is it still amen? No, we don't know. We're from Mississippi. We don't know none of that. I'm sorry. Anywho, what's that? It's still amen. It's amen. It's amen. So. You know, when something strikes you, some folks, you know, in church, they used to say, that's the amen corner over there. And that's good. If you're preaching, it's real good because, you know, half of you sleep and the other half, I don't know where you are. And then every now and again, somebody will say amen. It's like somebody's listening anyway, anywho, right? So, but when saying amen to a preacher is like saying sick 'em to a dog now. That's what they say. But when something hits your spirit like that, people say amen. Now, some of them maybe it's just doing religious stuff. It's just what they learned. But that idea is, that's the truth. That's the truth. You know? All right. Well, I'm not trying to pump it up. I mean, I'm really okay with you thinking through things and working all that out. All right. So, amen. All right. So now, pull it all together right here. God is faithful. That's the idea. It's said throughout all Scripture, but creation testifies to that too. God is faithful. You can put your faith in Him. Okay? God is trustworthy. God is worthy of your trust. He's worthy of your trust. All right, so now, Let's look at a few more scriptures as we go that just speak more about this reliability thing and this constancy that is in God. Isaiah 40, verse 8. You probably heard this. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Now, that's not the word it meant, but I'm just saying this is the principle of the idea of this. You can put your confidence because it's reliable, right? This idea of it's secure. The word of our God stands forever. You realize that? When you're reading the scriptures and you're reading the promises of God, these are things that's going to carry on throughout all of eternity. All right. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, same kind of idea right here. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. You can go to the bank on it. If God says it, it will happen. All right. And it shall prosper in the thing which I send it. You see? Psalm 18:2. Get this picture in your head now, because it's dealing with this idea of reliable, strong. You can put your confidence in. The Lord is my what? He is my rock. Okay, now what do you picture? Okay, there's a couple things in Israel about rocks. Somebody once said on one of the trips I went been on over there, said, take a rock home. We got plenty. You know, that kind of thing. There are rocks everywhere. Rocks everywhere. The whole ground is rocky. So in one idea, God is my rock. He's ever present. He's everywhere. He's always with me. But probably the main idea that pops in your mind is this idea of a rock. It's a mountainous country. What is it about mountains? Why would God compare himself to a mountain or a rock? Why would he do that? It stands over everything. And it's unchanging. It's there. That mountain was there for your great-great-great-great-granddaddy, and it's going to be there for your great-great-great-great-grandkids. It's always there, and it's stable, and it's not going anywhere, right? That's the idea. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will, what? Why? Because he's the rock. He's trustworthy, right? My shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. 61:2 of Psalms. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It's another old song. Y'all heard that old song? When my heart is overwhelmed, hear my cry, give heed to my prayer. You ever heard that one? No. You never heard that? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. All right, so this idea of a rock. All right. So God is faithful. You can put your faith in him. We've said that two or three times already. But God is faithful. You can put your faith in him. And he's okay with being tested. You know, Jesus was okay with being tested. Did you notice that when the Pharisees asked him questions and stuff, he gave them answers. He was okay with being tested. He knew the lamb had to be inspected. That was the priest's duty. They had to inspect the lamb. So Jesus kind of took it as such. They had to check out, is he really who he says he is? All right? So he didn't mind being tested. In fact, when it comes to like giving and tithes, he says, test me in this. Try me in this. It's okay. Try me in it. And see if I won't open up the windows of heaven. He says that. All right? Because of the Lord's faithfulness, we can have faith. We call that belief or believing or to believe, right? Because of God's faithfulness, we can have faith. God is trustworthy, worthy of your trust. And because God is trustworthy, we can put our trust in him. The scripture is echoing this time and time again. Life, will, if you'll turn your heart towards God, you'll figure this out too. All right. So now let's wrap it up with this idea. Here's what faith looks like. This idea of us putting our faith into God's faithfulness. Look at this. This is Genesis 15. Your mind ought to race to Abraham right there. Abraham's story is from Genesis 12 all the way to Genesis 25. Genesis 15, 5 and 6, it says, then he, God, brought him, Abraham, outside So outside, it's nighttime, outside of the tent, they went, right? He brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, God said to Abraham, so shall your descendants be. And Abraham believed in the Lord. And God accounted it to Abraham for righteousness. As far as we know, at that point in history, Abraham was like the only one that believed God. The world had gone to pot, the flood and all the Tower of Babel and all the scattering and all the madness that had happened. And God chose Abraham, and Abraham just simply believed God. He put his... See, I said faith is not blind, right? What was Abraham's faith in? It wasn't blind. How does faith... Faith comes by... What Romans... What's it? 10:17? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I just like to say it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing, because we don't get it the first time. Hearing and hearing and hearing. As we keep hearing and getting the testimony on it, faith comes alive in us. Eventually, it hits you. Kind of like your medicine that you do with all the sickness. You're not sure which dose got you, but all of it together, boom, makes a difference. And now all that hearing together, that's why you need to take advantage of all the hearing you can with the Word, from teachers and preachers and studying the Word and listening to it and books and reading and all that kind of hearing. As you hear, boom, your faith comes alive, right? That's how it works, right? And Abraham believed in the Lord. Let's see what Paul says about it. Paul uses Abraham in Romans chapter 4 as the example of what it is to be a person of faith. And he ties it to Jesus. Look at what he does right here. Therefore, now he's referring back to what we just read in Genesis 15. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. In other words, you can't earn it. He's got to gift it to you. It comes through his kindness. But it's of faith so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. That was back in that section where we just were reading. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. A lot of preachers that have tried to put all that in our mouth and say, you can call things as not as though they were. But that's like God stuff right there now. God called Abraham's dead body and Sarah's dead womb, called it even before it came to life. He said, you're going to have a child and you're going to be the father of many nations. And Abraham just simply believed God. All right, let's keep unpacking it right here. It's talking about Abraham who, look at this phrasing right here, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. He didn't have any descendants at this point when it was said to him. So contrary to hope, well, what's that idea? Contrary to the natural circumstances of things working out the way they would in the natural, he went against the natural, and in hope he believed. And what did he believe? He believed what God spoke to him. And God said, I've been looking for you a long time. Me and you are going to be friends. And Abraham was called the friend of God. And he was made righteous because of his faith. He just simply believed. See, it's not a blind step. Abraham didn't walk into Sarah one day and say, I think we're going to have a kid. Come on, mama. Let's get with it. That ain't what happened. He put his faith in what God spoke. And when God spoke it, he said, it don't look like it's going to happen, but I'm going to go with you. I'm going to believe you. You hear what I'm talking about? And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. He's an old man. Fired and went out in the stove a long time ago. Old guy. Since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. Right, that was the contrary part. He did not waver at the promise of God. Didn't waver. Through unbelief. Oh, there's a word right there. So we're talking about faithful and faithfulness and faith. Well, the opposite of that is this word right here, unbelief. Right? But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He was fully convinced. How about that? And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now he ties it to us here. Now, all this stuff about Abraham was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, or not for just Israel's sake alone either, but also for us, the whole world really, and for us today. It was written for us that it shall be imputed, righteousness shall be given or granted to your account to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And he brings all that faith to a climactic point in the person of Jesus. Just like Abraham believed God said what he said about a son, and he believed him, even against hope. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Same principle. We believe that what God said about Jesus is absolutely 100%, take it to the bank, true. And that's how we're made righteous. You see what I'm talking about? So, last one. John 1. You can teach a whole seminary class on just John chapter 1. All right, we're just going to read a couple select verses here. But John 1 is loaded up, packed, seriously. I took a college class on John 1. A whole semester got thought about John 1, okay? It's deep. In the beginning was the Word. Kind of a Genesis type beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, skip down to verse number 10. A lot of good stuff in between there. Verse number 10. He, this one called the Word, which we're going to find out is Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. There's a lack of faith right there, right? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who do what? Who believe in his name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You probably heard this verse before. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So we beheld his glory. Moses said, show me your glory. Jesus says, here's God's glory. I'm going to show him. And we beheld God's glory. That's a word that ties right back into Exodus 34 now. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten of the Father. We see that, like, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. Well, God's got a whole lot of sons. Adam was a son. A whole lot of sons and daughters. What's different about Jesus? He's not the only Son of God, but he's the only begotten of the Father, it says. What does that mean? Well, he is a special, unique kind of son with the Father. That's what that only begotten means. Special, unique Son. All right? Look at this. This is why I pulled this scripture right here. Full of grace and truth. Those are two of our words from Exodus 34:6. Remember that? And what it is tying Jesus to, it is tying Jesus right back to the same God that was revealed in Exodus 34. Jesus is the revelation of that God. And Jesus is full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of truth, truth, truth. Not that he just speaks truth, but he's full of faithfulness. Jesus is full of faithfulness. Faithfulness to who? Well, faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to everybody that he promised. Faithful to everybody that come into covenant with him. And he's trustworthy. You can trust him. All right. So that's the idea, or part of it. You never feel like you do these things justice. God is full of goodness, grace, and truth. Okay? You good? You can go to the bank. You can build your life. You remember Jesus talking about that, the parable of the wise and the foolish builder? He alludes to that rock thing, doesn't he? And he ties himself back to God. People say Jesus never claimed to be God. They just don't know the Bible at all. He claimed to be God on nearly every page, to be honest with you. He just did it in context of the Hebrew Bible. The foolish man builds his house on the sand. The winds and the rain, the storm comes, right? Beats on the house. But the wise man builds his house on the rock. And what was that? What was the rock? Is if you hear and do what I say. Okay. And with that rock stability, Jesus tied himself straight to God. He said, not only you build your life on God, God is my rock. He said, I'm going to tell you, my teachings are your rock. And that, therefore, that was a God claim. You know, that kind of thing. All right. I hope I hadn't thoroughly confused you, but I hope I prompted your mind just to say, hey, well, I need to know more about this stuff. Right? Everybody good? You feel like you've been to class already? You got your homework done? There will be a test. I just won't be the one giving it. You know what I'm talking about? There will be a test. All right, let's pray. Hi, Lord, we just, again, echo that prayer of Moses. Show me, show us your glory. Continue to show all of your goodness to us, Lord. Help it to unfold. We need to see you in our day, Lord. Just like he needed to see you in your day and they need to see Jesus in their day, we need to see the same, Lord. We need strong revelation. We're coming against some real dark stuff that's going on in our lives and worlds today. Help us, Lord. Help us. Show us your glory. We want to see you. We want to know you. We want to follow you. And Lord, I just thank you for time and time again in my life, personally, you have proved yourself to be faithful. Even when I've been unfaithful, Lord, you've proved yourself to be faithful. And I thank you for that. May we all taste of that. Thank you, Lord. And may we find that you are worthy of all of our trust for all of time and all of eternity. Thank you for sending Jesus to show us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.